May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A blessed Trinity Sunday to you all this morning. Trinity Sunday marks the end of our Paschal season, our Paschal cycle of the church year. And it's also the beginning of Trinity season, teaching season, growing season, learning season. Our Paschal cycle moves from Ash Wednesday and Lent as we prepare to Palm Sunday, our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, through Holy Week, our Lord's resurrection, his ascension, and Pentecost, the coming down of the Holy Ghost to establish and send forth the ministry of the Trinity through the work of the Holy Ghost. As we gather throughout these seasons, throughout these feasts, we remember, meaning we come together as members of the body of Christ. Not remember as in the opposite of forget, but remember as in the opposite of dismember. Instead of being sent out and broken apart, we gather together as members of a body to participate in the ministry of our Lord. And I think during the weeks and the days of the Paschal cycle, Resurrection, Passion Week, Lent, it's a little clearer to us how we are to carry ourselves. Our Lord took on flesh and dwelt among us. He took on the likeness of man, took on the form of a servant. That's something we can picture. We can picture our Lord moving towards Calvary. So we have some sense of what it looks like to move with him and in him to offer ourselves in suffering with our Lord. But I think it's a little further out for us to picture what we're supposed to do, what it means for us as members of a body gathered together in remembrance of the Trinity. What are we supposed to do and be about for the season of the Trinity, which is the next 24 weeks? To answer it in a line, I would say to participate in the sacramental life of Christ. And to remember that there is nothing mundane about any of this. You have been invited this morning into an encounter with the living God. The author of the Hebrews refers to our God as a consuming fire. Our family has spent a lot of time at the beach the last couple of weeks. Maybe you have too. And I've thought a lot as you come to the shore where the waves roll up on the sand. You feel the water. You see the water come towards you. There's a predictability. There's a tameness, at least some days, about how the waves come up. You know when they're coming. You know about how far up they're coming. But you know, as you stand on the edge of this, there's this great gulf, this great ocean, this great expanse that is so powerful and mighty and full of splendor and life that if you were to be dropped in the middle of it without any preservation, if you were to enter into it without any sort of respect for its power, you will be consumed in a moment. I wonder if that might be what's in our mind this morning as we draw near to the throne of heaven. We are coming into contact with something that is so great, so mighty, so beautiful, so full of life. He's invited us to do that in a way that's life-giving and life-preserving. Our text this morning from John's Gospel and Isaiah, I think, give us a good picture of what it looks like to participate in the sacramental life of Christ, namely baptism and the Eucharist. So I want to walk through those with you this morning. John 3 is a conversation between our Lord and Nicodemus. It's a familiar passage, a familiar conversation. We're told that a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God because no one could do what you're doing unless God was with him. Jesus answered, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is a bit puzzled. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Our Lord responds again, unless a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, there is a whole lot here, but I want to point out just a couple of things for our time this morning. One, our Lord responds twice, and it's basically the same statement. First, he says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he says, unless you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want us to attach these things in our mind as synonyms. To see, to perceive the kingdom is to receive it, to participate in it, to enter into it, to have fellowship with it. These are one and the same thing. To glimpse God's glory is to have fellowship with him, to enter into worship with him, to have relationship with him. This is not a seen thing, like the womb, like the first birth of the flesh. Baptism, we're given a visible sign. But in this sign, in this baptism, we're encountering an incredible and invisible reality. You are being united with Christ, and in so doing, you are brought into fellowship with the Trinity. The Trinity, our triune God, is beyond our comprehension. This great, abounding with life and goodness and grace and mercy and power. That's who you're brought into fellowship with through your baptism. Paul in Galatians writes, all who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You've been made heirs according to promise. Through baptism, you are united to Christ. You're made a son of the Father by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you've been made a son, the Spirit of the Son testifies to you, crying out, Abba, Father. Do we see the Trinity in this baptism? As you're united to Christ, God the Father is now our Father. As we are united to Christ, the Spirit which raised him from the dead has now formed himself into union with your soul. You're invited to participate in the divine abundance that is in the Trinity by the grace of Christ. Baptism gives us this great glimpse, this great vision of God's glory. It is a washing of regeneration. It affects your adoption as sons. It's a knitting together into Christ, into the fellowship of the Trinity. And if that is what baptism is, this great glory that is the grace of holy baptism, what about this morning? What have we gathered here to participate in today in the Holy Eucharist? I think Isaiah 6 gives us a perfect picture of what we are doing here together. I'll read it for you again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I hope that you can see in this passage that Isaiah is being invited into something glorious beyond his comprehension. He's being invited to peer into the throne room of God, in which and around which there is this heavenly worship of heavenly beings calling out praise for him. He's invited to take part in that, to participate in that. As one speaks, the door moves open. Isaiah invited to peer more deeply and more fully into that which is taking place before him. The room fills with smoke with the Spirit of God. Isaiah invited to take part in this moment. And what is his response? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He says, I'm undone. I am unclean because of what I have done and what I have left undone. I'm not worthy to stand here before you. I'm not worthy to take part in the glory that's happening in this place. This is beyond me, above me. I'm unclean. Praise God that this is not where the vision stops. But is this not to our confession this morning? We do not presume to take part in this based on our own righteousness, but based on the abundance of God's mercy and the one who we have been knit into as members of his body, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Isaiah encounters this Trinitarian worship of the glory of God. He's invited to participate into that. Falls before it, confessing his unworthiness because of who he is, what he's done, and the land in which he dwells. And then from the altar comes grace and mercy and atonement for sin and divine life, making a way for those who are unworthy to take part in the glory and the life and the goodness of God. This is what you were invited to take part in this morning. And that is not where the vision of Isaiah stops. Then he hears the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I can't help but think of the last words of our service today, the same as every Sunday. The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Depart in peace. Thanks be to God. Go be sent. Depart. In the Latin Mass, which has been said since the 6th century, ite missa est are the words spoken here. It's where we get our words mission. Go be sent. Take what you have been given, what you have been revealed, and carry that out into the world. You've been invited into participation in worship of the Trinity. Go in the mission of the Trinity to reconcile the world to God through Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's where we get our words Mass from. As we say we come to Mass, what we're confessing is that we have come to gather as members of Christ's body to be sent, to be dispatched, to carry forward the vision and the glory that we participated in out into a world that's hurting. That's what we've gathered for this morning. So I invite you to consider this morning as you approach the throne, which is also the altar of the Lamb that was slain for your sake. I invite you to consider this over the next 24 weeks of Trinity season, that we remember, meaning we come together as the body of Christ, members of one body, to participate in the ministry of the Holy Trinity. We gather to glimpse the glory of God, to see for a moment what is happening in reality around the throne of the High King. We confess our sins, our unworthiness, our uncleanness, and that of those around us, that of the place in which we inhabit. And then we receive life, forgiveness, and mercy from the altar of the Lamb, and finally go and bear witness to what we've seen and what we've received. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.